You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and boy, I wish this was hour number one. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and you're listening to the Common Sense Show, and we have been challenged here in the first hour. We're back up. If you think, hey, Dave, you sound like you're back at your broadcast station, you are absolutely correct. The moment that we ended the interview with Rich Sheban, the Skype came up fully and functional. Our studio equipment here came up fully and functional. I was even having trouble doing that interview on the phone because the sound kept cutting out. So to you who did this, we know who you are. And we want to thank you for telling our listening audience by your actions just how important Rich's information was. And I think that maybe some of you got confused out there and thought that you were also taking down Stacy, because this is going to be a politically incorrect and politically provocative hour. And I was telling Stacy right before we came on air that I'm in the right mind frame of mind to do this. I'm a little PO'd right now, and I'm not off my game. I am on my game, and I am really, really upset. And let me tell you what's going on here, and let me just set the stage, and I'm going to bring Stacy in. It was over 3.5 years ago, going on 4, that Diane Hunter, who used to be a contributor to our show, she used to send me really cool stuff, she alerted me to Stacy. And I first said, well, come on, I don't do child custody issues. She said, Dave, please look at this. And she talked to me for a week. At the time, I was still coaching college basketball. I was out in California. I was locked up with that. And I didn't have time to really pay attention to it. And I got back, and she got a hold of me, and she got in my face, and she said, you really need to pay attention to this Stacy Lynn case. She stood up to Agenda 21 forces in Fort Collins, Colorado, and they stole her damn kid. And I said, okay, all right, I'll look at it. And I read it. 10 minutes in, I said, we need to get involved in the Stacy Lynn case. This is horrendous. Now, most of my listening audience, I'm sure, has been with us, and you processed us as we went through and were able to help Monica Wesolowski, the State Department employee, get her son Dylan returned to her back in 2014. And it took us about 4 months to get that done. We've been at this with Stacy off and on now going on 4 years. And I want to say something right off the top before I introduce Stacy. She has never had her parental rights severed. She's never been accused, much less proven, to have done anything wrong. And I want you to keep this in mind. Stacy is not a criminal. She's not running from her past. They're not protecting her child from her bad actions. It is nothing like this. And this is really the most frustrating thing that I have covered in the 8.5 years that I've been doing the Common Sense Show. This is the one thing that really ticks me off. And at the end of this hour, I'm going to be talking about how we're going to take this to a whole new level. And you criminals up there in Fort Collins, you better get ready, because we're coming, and so's our audience, and so are a whole lot of other people that have never heard of this case before. Okay, Stacy, I'm sorry about the long-winded interview, but I wanted to set the stage. And you, to me, Stacy, are a hero. You're one of the bravest people I know. You're one of the most mentally tough people I know. And if you were a guy and a basketball player, I'd have recruited you to play on my team, because you are one tough lady. Well, let's start at the beginning. You were a formidable anti-Agenda 21 advocate in Fort Collins. Let's talk about that for a minute, and talk to the audience about what was going on in your community and what you were doing to stop it.
Sure. So it all started with when the city of Fort Collins decided they were going to push locally owned businesses out of the community. These were locally owned trash haulers. They employed largely a minority population. And they were not going to compensate, the city was not going to compensate these businesses for being pushed out. So I began to ask questions about the motivation for that, and the answers that the city gave didn't make sense. So that is when I decided to dig a little deeper, find out what the true intention was, and that is when I came across ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Issues, and that is obviously part of the United Nations Agenda 21 programs. ICLEI is Agenda 21 at the local level, and they work through city councils and commissioners, county commissioners, to get their programs, international programs, adopted. So I found all that out. I decided it was unacceptable for the city of Fort Collins to destroy these business owners and all of the employees that they were providing jobs for. And we were successful in defeating the takeover. And Waste Management, the international corporation, actually wanted to take all of those customers from those private businesses so that they would have a monopoly. The city of Fort Collins was helping them do that through ordinances. So we stopped it, and that began my, I guess, public fight against Agenda 21. I took what we learned from Fort Collins to other communities in Colorado across the Front Range, and we successfully kept hundreds of jobs at the local level. We protected, I think it was 21 private businesses. They are still operating today because of that effort. And then I took my efforts to the state legislature, and that is when things got ugly beyond any of my imagination. I had no idea what they were planning to do in retaliation.
You did one other thing, too, that I think got their attention, and I'm talking about the attention of the Agenda 21 crowd. And that was, you were exposing the, the less than upfront and forthright system called the magistrate system. Let's talk about that for a moment.
This is one of the things, it was probably just as damaging to me, and as far as retaliation goes, as the Agenda 21 efforts. Once I started investigating what was happening in the court system here, I realized that we have in Colorado and throughout the United States magistrates who act as judges, but they are actually attorneys who are hired to act as a judge. So they don't have the accountability. The chief judge in a district just hires these attorneys to act as judges. So most people don't know what that means. And in Colorado specifically, when you have a magistrate hear your case, you are waiving your constitutional rights. I began to dig into that issue pretty deeply. I began speaking throughout the Front Range about this issue. Many attorneys were not even aware of the difference between a judge and a magistrate, and I was on a couple mainstream radio shows discussing the issue. And so that got me a lot of attention that was not popular with the system.
Yeah, and let's give those radio outlets some credit. KOA. I used to listen to Denver Bronco and Denver Nuggets basketball games on KOA, but they took their shots at you. I did some research, Stacy, since we talked about this point. And then KHOW, KHOW, I think that's, what, 6:30 on your dial, and KOA is 8:50, if I remember right, for my Denver days.
Yes.
And they brought in one-sided discussions to try to debunk what you were saying about this totally inept and really marginally criminal magistrate system that was going on there. So you became a pariah to the establishment. You were a cancer that had to be cut out and dealt with. And unfortunately for them, you had no criminal record. You weren't involved in anything shady. And really the only thing, Stacy, that you were doing other than advocacy of a major nature is you were playing mom. So let's talk about your son and how this all unfolded into the nightmare that it turned into.
Well, my son is Jaden. He turned 12 in April. I have not seen him since October 30th of 2012. And I do want to add one more element that probably impacted the retaliation that we'll get into deeper. And that is, at the same time, they became aware of my son and how they could use him against me, I had developed a grant that would have effectively neutralized lobbyists at the state level. I had been awarded private funding for that program and was just about to implement it when all of this came up and I had to devote my full time trying to save Jaden.
Yeah, all hell broke loose. You basically raised Jaden as a single parent. I mean, this is what you've shared before on my show when I was on over on Republic. And let's talk about the involvement of the biological father, Jeffrey Pappenheim.
The biological father did not want Jaden. He, on the day Jaden was born, spent most of the next week, as Jaden was in special care in the neonatal unit, spent most of the next week saying that he wanted Jaden and I to be dead. That would make his life easier along those lines, and basically abandoned us at that point. I did raise Jaden on my own. The biological father had not ever spent a moment alone with my son. And he decided to leave us, and at different times he said that it was for Jaden's best interest so that he would not negatively impact my son with his own emotional and mental issues. So we were on our own for 8 years and 8 months.
Yeah, he and I got to play devil's advocate for a moment here, because he has in the past repeatedly declined invitations to appear on the show. And as my listening audience will attest to, no matter how I feel about an individual, I don't ambush them on the air. I let them fairly answer the questions that I ask, but he still has refused. So I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a moment here to process. He claims, and I've seen this on a website that's no longer in existence as far as I know. I think the website's gone. He claims that he paid tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to both you and Jaden in the early part of his life. Is that accurate?
Well, he, I can say he claimed that he bought and paid for three homes for me. That is not accurate. He also at one point claimed that he had spent $1 million on me and Jaden. That's also not accurate. There are, obviously we can prove that. And I do want to say, on the issue of credibility, I am an investigative journalist, and I don't speak or write unless I have the evidence in my hands. So what I am saying on this interview can be verified in court records and police records. So if anybody questions that, I'd be happy to help them find the truth.
And again, to Mr. Pappenheim or people connected to him are going to tell him about this interview, he's welcome to come on. This is not about bashing him. I have no intention of casting him in a bad light. I'm simply trying to establish the position that Stacy Lynn was effectively a single mother who was virtually, if not completely, the sole source of support for her young son, Jaden, up through his eighth birthday. So let's cycle forward here. I think the year was 2011. Is that right, Stacy, when things started to unravel? And
yes.
Let's start in 2011 and talk about what happened.
Okay, so Jaden was in third grade in 2011. He was attending a private school with one of the best reputations for their academic program and also for their warm, caring environment. He was thriving there. He was doing well. And there was a permanent orders hearing in November where Judge Julie Kuntz Field refused to allow me witnesses. She refused my evidence. She refused any testimony on the record. She gave the biological father 7 hours and 40 minutes to present his case, and I was left with 20 minutes, no evidence, no exhibits, no witnesses. She took almost a month to issue her permanent orders, and when she did that, she served the biological father the order, but she did not serve me the order. So on December 20th, 2011, when I went to pick Jaden up from school, as I had done every day of his life, the front office staff met me with looks of horror. I glanced down at the sign-in sheet for visitors and saw the biological father's name on the list, and I immediately ran to Jaden's classroom. Mm-hmm. He was curled up in a ball in the hallway, as he had been for the past 4 hours, refusing to leave with this virtual stranger. I didn't know what was going on, obviously, since I hadn't been served the order. And when Jaden saw me, he jumped up and grabbed my hand and said, "Run, Mommy, run faster." Jaden and I left the building quickly. The biological father had always threatened to take Jaden from school. He had actually shown up unannounced previously, so I wasn't sure what was happening. Jaden and I were able to get away that evening, and the next morning I went to the Larimer County Courthouse to see if, in fact, there were orders issued, and there had been. At that point, I was met by Sergeant Jeffrey Van Hook from the Larimer County Sheriff's Office, and he demanded that I immediately turn Jaden over to the biological father. I was not able to do that in the time frame that he arbitrarily determined. It was simply physically impossible for me to do that. So,
in the order that transferred custodialship of Jaden to his biological father, did they specify a time frame that the transfer had to be done by?
Yes, it was effective immediately, and that was an unprecedented order.
That's unreasonable.
Attorneys had never seen that before. Multiple attorneys have reviewed this case and that order, and they said, especially since Jaden did not know the biological father, it was an act of cruelty to do this to a child. But they did it that way because they had to arrest me. It was the only way they were going to be able to take Jaden, because if they would have followed procedure, I would have had a contempt hearing, a show cause hearing, due process would have been
exactly
allowed to me, and they didn't. They ambushed me.
Well, Stacy, let me shift gears for a minute. We probably, in our lead up to the bottom of the hour break, we probably won't finish this, but I want to get this started. So we've talked about how the judge has been unreasonable. She conducted a kangaroo court trial. We're talking about Judge Julie Koontz Field. And now the father, who was not, by your words, and I want to be fair here, not very much involved in the child's life, if at all, now transfer's been made, and Jaden is living with someone who he doesn't know real well. So let's go back to the beginning, and when I got involved in this, the first thing I did, and let me share this with the listening audience, I went and did some background checking on this judge. Because I'm thinking, well, this is her first child custody case. Now let's find out what her background is. Well, the Agenda 21 informal leader in Larimer County, in my opinion, is a lady named Pat Stryker, owner of Stryker Biotech. She's behind a lot of Agenda 21 programs. She's been to the presidential inaugural ball. She knows all the players, or a lot of the players. Well, Stacy, you were, excuse the expression, crapping in her backyard, and it just so happens that Stryker Biotech was represented by Julie Koontz's legal firm back in the late 1980s in a malpractice suit, so their relationship goes back to that time, but it gets worse. At the time that before Julie Koontz came into being a judge in Larimer County, she was a consultant to, and this is where we should roll out the drums, the World Bank and the IMF. You don't get much more Agenda 21, New World Order than that. And she had never done anything with family law. She hadn't done anything remotely close to this. Now, there's a vacancy in the county court system in Larimer County, where Stacy lives, and outgoing Governor Bill Ritter, who's termed out, appoints someone with no experience in the field she's going to be a judge in to come in. And what's interesting to me about this is when Bill Ritter leaves, and Stacy, correct me if I'm wrong on this, he goes to work at Colorado State University, which is in Fort Collins, on Agenda 21 type projects, and Pat Stryker is funding his $300,000 salary. Is that correct, or am I missing something?
That is correct about Ritter and his connection to Pat Stryker and Julie Koontz Field. The one thing I did want to say about Julie Koontz Field is she had early in her career had a high-profile child custody case, so she had some experience decades okay. prior to this. And that high-profile case was actually made into a movie because Julie Koontz Field threw a fit when a judge took a child from her mother, and gave custody to the father. So Julie Coonsfield knew exactly what she was doing was damaging my son. His mental, emotional, and spiritual development was incredibly damaged when Julie Coonsfield placed him with a complete stranger.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to say the least. In fact, actually, it now comes to mind, and it's been almost 4 years since I did some of this original research, but I also remember uncovering the fact on her judicial application, Coonsfield listed an address on College Avenue as her business address, and it happened to be the business address of one of Pat Stryker's companies.
Right. It turns out they shared a business office suite.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, you look at this, and can you cry conflict of interest? Probably. And Ritter really completes the circle on that. And so you've got this triumvirate that looks like they're involved to neutralize Stacy. Now, this is kind of where Pat Stryker is not involved at all. I mean, Stacy, you were going against her interests. We don't know if she talked to Julie Field, but since they shared an office suite, you would assume there's ongoing communication about this. I mean, you'd be a fool not to believe that. But then the governor's involvement. So she comes in, and was she your first case? Or were you her first case?
I do believe that I was one of the first cases that was assigned to her once she had been appointed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you look at this craziness, and I do mean absolute craziness in this, and I almost would say Austin, Texas, Santa Cruz, California, and Fort Collins, Colorado are the three places that most likely you would see these injustices being carried out. And I want to put a wrap on this real quick here, because Stacy, we're going to get into some really tough stuff after the break. But when we look at this case, to me, it smells of setup. Julie Coonsfield was pulled off her Agenda 21 duties with the World Bank and the IMF, where she served as a consultant, and brought in, and it doesn't even make sense why you'd leave a position like that to go be a lowly judge in a town of 100,000 people. It doesn't even make sense. Anyway, we'll explore this and more when we come back with Stacy Lynn. Well, we live in very, very uncertain times, very volatile times. Many people, and we heard Joe Meyer talk about this last week, that we may not make it till Christmas economically. And you need to be prepared to come out the other side, because there will be people living on this continent if the United States of America's economy crashes. If we even go to war and lose, if we go into martial law, there still will be something on the other side. And what I'm recommending to people is that, one, you ditch as much currency as you can, and make sure you read my article, How to Take Your Money Out of the Bank Without Going to Jail, because there are very, very, very strict laws about that. There's a congressman headed for prison right now who violated all these rules. Don't be one of them. But what you can do right now is start to make hard purchases directly from your bank account, and you can buy precious metals. Precious metals historically have stood the test of time against inflation and against currency collapses like the one that people forecast are coming. I mean, folks, when you live in an economy where the good news is you're $19 trillion in debt, it's a matter of time. So I'd encourage you to visit my friend Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, and you can give Steve a call in the morning at 406-586-4842. Again, the best hedge against inflation, protection, and this is your real plunge protection team. Steve Quayle, gold and silver, precious metals, 406-586-4842. And along the same lines, Jim White, my partner in the Red List News, and I, we're on a mission. We're telling people that you must have 2 years of storable food and water to reasonably expect to survive for what's coming. And that's for every member of your family. And we feel we have one of the best, if not the best, vendor out there to meet these needs. And that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. you're going to find that these products are reasonably priced. You know how long they're going to last. You know the amount. They're tasty. Yeah, I've partaken of them, and yeah, they're good. They're good. It's a matter of, do you want to be prepared today, or do you want to be sorry tomorrow? Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And along the same lines, again, we don't have to tell you how bad things are. You've heard me talking about this, and I want to have you visit my friend who was on the show last week, and we generated so much traffic to his website, we broke it a couple of times. My friend Bob Griswold from readymaderesources.com. And what I want to push again is what Bob has talked a lot about when he's been on the show, and that's the need for night vision goggles, night vision equipment. If the bad guy has the night vision and you don't, you stand a good chance of losing. And he sells the PVS-14 third generation auto-gated unit. It's the very best in the world. And that's really what he sells. And then you heard him last week talking about, you know, solar generators, the little portable ones. And some of these are for under $200. I mean, they're greatly priced. I mean, the prices are reasonable. The products are great. I'd encourage you to visit readymaderesources.com and give Bob a call in the morning at 1-800-627-3809. Again, that number is 1-800-627-3809. Well, we're joined by my old friend, Stacy Lynn. And again, I want to put out a public invitation to Mr. Pappenheim, and our intent here on my end is not to demean you. I know that when parents get involved in custody disputes, that emotions can run high, and I'm trying my best to go the neutral ground here between Stacy and Jeff Pappenheim. He has said some things about this show and myself in the past that are woefully untrue. I am not out to get him in any way, shape, or form, and I'd like him to come on and tell this story. But the main focus of what we're doing is not Mr. Pappenheim. We're not getting into his skills as a father and a parent, and having a relationship with Stacy and how that went. We're not getting into any of those things. What we're looking at here is the abuse of a citizen for daring to stand up for her rights and the rights of her community in the face of the United Nations Agenda 21 policies in her community and having her child ripped away. You know, I used to do work with ex-cons, and I will tell you, there are pedophiles out there, people who molest children who have better custodial arrangements than what Stacy Lynn has. This is unacceptable, and this is what we seek to correct. Stacy, let's talk about the last time you saw Jaden, and let's talk about why you haven't seen him since.
Well, the last time I saw Jaden was October 30th of 2012. When Julie Coons Field issued her permanent order, she put in there that I was required to do supervised parenting. And so basically since December 20th of 2011, I have not seen Jaden. And that, I guess during the supervised visits, I saw him for 2 hours a week for a number of months. And in that, those court orders were being violated. So I basically have not seen him for that span of time.
Stacy, by violated, what do you mean here? They're violated in that Jeffrey didn't produce his son at the right time. The place where you were meeting canceled the opportunity to meet. What happened there?
Actually, all of those things. And so each time a motion for contempt was filed, Julie Coons Field dismissed that without any procedural process. And so there was, every time I tried to legally remedy the situation, that it actually made things worse for Jaden. We have law enforcement records of Jaden being forced to say things that were not true. We have a deputy who has documented times when Jaden was speaking to me on the phone where it's obvious he's being forced to lie. So in spite of evidence from third parties, I had no way to remedy the violations of the court order. The judge even issued the permanent orders improperly so that when we filed an appeal at the state level, the Court of Appeals kicked the appeal out, citing Julie Kuntz Fields errors in the order, so I was not able to appeal even like a regular process would be given to someone.
Well, that's, she's been protected from her wrongdoing all the way through, and I understand that yours truly and the Common Sense Show came up quite frequently in court. Is that correct?
You were mentioned a number of times. There were attempts to discredit me, and they tried to use you to do that. However, there was never any. Of course, there was never any proof that there was any reason that you should be mentioned. I do remember, and this is important for your listeners to know the risks involved here, that you were threatened with legal action, and law enforcement departments were involved in that, and those law enforcement officers determined that you had done nothing wrong and there was no reason for the biological father to continue harassing you.
Yeah, I mean, we're speaking about my discussions with Weld County Sheriff and people who have listened to this show for 8.5 years or even 8.5 weeks know that I don't advocate for violence, and certainly I would never do that. I just want justice to be done here. And again, I said at the top of the show, Stacy, your parental rights have never been severed, and you have never been accused of wrongdoing, correct?
That's correct, and I'd like to expound on that a little bit. During the permanent orders hearing, when I was not allowed to present my case, the biological father called witnesses, and his witnesses testified that I was an excellent mom, and Jaden was thriving in his entire life. And then once he was given to the biological father, Jaden lived in a horse trailer that is documented by child welfare checks by law enforcement officers. He failed third grade at a public school, and obviously in the initial months after he was taken, he had a very difficult time simply getting through the day.
As a lot of kids do, and I don't know that we can point the finger at any person here as much as say what the judge created. She created this battlefield. I mean, here's what should have happened, Stacy, and I've been through this so many times when I was working in mental health, and I've never seen a judge not do something reasonable like this. And this is the most bizarre case I've ever seen. But generally, what happens is when someone files for, you know, obtaining custody of a child, most judges act like King Solomon, split the baby in half, so to speak. And there is shared custody. There are defined visits and vacation periods and where you can and cannot take the child. And none of this happened here. Fields just said, Stacy, that's it. You're no longer a custodial parent. Did she give a reason why? I mean, I remember a couple things that she said, but I want you to tell it because you'll tell it more accurately. What reasons did she cite for saying that you no longer could have any custody over Jaden whatsoever?
Well, before I tell you the reason that she cited, I would like your listeners to know that at the time she awarded the biological father full custody and full decision-making, he had just testified in front of her that he had no home, no car, and no job.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden and I have been established in the same community for his entire life.
Yeah.
And we had all of those things, and Jaden had a wonderful connection to his community. So what Julie Kuntz Field said in her permanent order was that I had declared myself to be a sovereign citizen.
Boy, and this is 2011, folks, before this term really came into vogue. Sovereign citizen. And I remember, Stacy, the first time I heard that, I asked Diana Hunter, I said, Diana, what the heck is a sovereign citizen? And we went and researched it and found out, well, it's someone who doesn't feel they have to follow the rules of the country. They might live in the country. They don't feel they have to get a driver's license, pay taxes, or do anything a citizen does. So let me ask you, did you have a driver's license? Did you pay taxes? And were you a productive member of the community?
I had a driver's license. I had never had a moving violation in my entire life. I paid taxes. I owned a home. I had a concealed carry permit. All of those things require you to follow the law. And the ironic part of this whole sovereign citizen topic was I was demanding the entire process that the law be applied, because I could see that they weren't applying the law. They weren't even following statutes, rules, or procedures in my case, and I was insisting that they apply those to me. And so this sovereign citizen rumor originated in the district attorney's office, the 8th Judicial District in Larimer County, Colorado. District Attorney Larry Abrahamson was one of the sources of that rumor, and he is currently being sued for that. I didn't know what a sovereign citizen was until a friend read the order and said, this concerns her greatly. I had to look it up as well. I did not know what it meant.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us, and it's the doublespeak of someone who's a globalist. And for my money, in my opinion, Judge Julie Koonsfield is a globalist, World Bank / IMF. It's just mind-boggling how this unfolded. But, Stacy, the abuse of you did not stop with the illegal snatching of your child by this judge who ran a kangaroo court proceeding. Let me just back up. We had a conversation, Stacy, in January of 2012, and this is before we knew about the cell phone and what was under your SUV, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I told you at the time, the way the police were reacting to you, that those people in Larimer County, the power establishment, your city council, your county commissioners, the Larimer County sheriffs, the judge, and the people who she represented, and I don't mean the people, I mean the special interest people, they thought that you knew something. They thought that you really were up to something. And so they had to surveil you even after your son was gone. Let's talk about that.
Right. So about 4 months after Jaden was taken, I noticed a large presence of law enforcement regardless of where I went. There were always officers around me, and I thought, you know, we do have a lot of officers in Fort Collins, but this is ridiculous. It didn't matter what time of day or where I was, I just always noticed a presence. And so on one particular day, I did a little test to see truly if it was a coincidence or if it was intentional. And after that little test, a friend suggested we look under the car. Even based on what I had been doing for the previous years, it never occurred to me that I would actually have a GPS tracking device attached to my vehicle. But in May of 2012, we did in fact find a GPS tracking device underneath my Ford Expedition. We took that tracking device to the Weld County Sheriff's Office to have it identified. The Weld County Sheriff traced the serial numbers to the Larimer County Sheriff's Office, and Sheriff Justin Smith admitted to the press that there was no warrant or court order for that device to be attached to my vehicle, and it had been tracking me for at least 4 months. They also tapped my cell phone without a warrant or a court order, and based on fraudulent information that Sergeant John Fahan had provided.
Of the Larimer County Sheriff.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, we were, gosh, I think, Stacy, I was 6 months into your case covering this when the tracking device happened. And I actually have spoken a number of times to Russ Harvey, who was with you, and he said he thought it was a bomb. and it freaked him out. Fortunately, and I say fortunately, better than a bomb, it was only a tracking device. So now you've got the official involvement of the next county over sheriff on this tracking device. Weld County Sheriff is involved. Did anything happen to Larimer County for this illegal and unconstitutional surveillance of your movements?
Well, they're currently being sued for not only the GPS tracking device, but a number of other violations of my rights and statutes and the law. So that lawsuit is in process. And I do want to mention about that GPS tracking device, the Fort Collins, Colorado, and is our local Gannett-owned newspaper. And even though the Coloradoan had been portraying me in the media negatively for the few years prior to this GPS device, their editorial board came out when the GPS hit the news saying that it appeared that the sheriff's office had placed that device on my car as a form of retaliation.
I think it's more than retaliation. The rumors surrounding that sheriff's department, and I don't know if it currently applies, but when you go back into the 1970s and 1980s and 1990s, and I'm not going to get into specifics because that's not the purpose for tonight, but the rumors surrounding some of the, let's say, off-book activities for this group is less than stellar. And this is why I told you, Stacy, in December of 2011 and again in January of 2012, that they think you know something about their activities that you don't. But let's get this on the record. Do you know anything illegal they're involved in of a major criminal nature that would lead them to suspect that you know what they're doing? Are you aware that maybe they're running drugs, guns, kids, whatever? Are you aware of that with these people?
Not specifically with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, that's what I'm asking, and they're the ones that did this. And as I'll say it again, at that time, they thought you knew something that I know from talking to you, Stacy, you didn't know anything that was going on, but you remember those probing conversations we had, and I said, come on, you've got to know something here that's causing them to do this. I mean, you were kicking their butt in Agenda 21 up and down the Front Range in Colorado, but this took it to a whole new level. The damage is done. I mean, you were emotionally distraught. You're not seeing Jaden. And they're winning. There'd be no reason to do this unless they thought you knew something about criminal activities of these people that you didn't know. And I don't know. I can't see it any other way. And I called the county attorney's office before he left office and was termed out, and he turned me down for an interview. I said, you need to explain the actions of the people, and why aren't you bringing legal action against the detectives in this who were involved, or the sheriff deputies who were involved? And no one has ever stood accountable for this illegal surveillance. So, Stacy, that's kind of where it stands. Now, I want to go right to the heart of one of the major reasons why I wanted you on tonight. The lawsuits you mentioned here, you're filing them pro se, is that correct?
I am. It has been incredibly difficult financially, as anyone can imagine, when they are attacked by the system. We're going on five years now of nonstop effort to try to save Jaden. I basically walked away from everything I was doing the year before he was taken to try to save him, and since then my focus truly has been on justice.
Let's play a hypothetical game here real quick. Mr. Pappenheim looks at his son and says, you know, emotions ran high, and this is what happens between parents, and, you know, we both said and did things maybe we shouldn't have, and this is typical. And I think that Jaden should have some contact with his mother. And if he were to petition to go back into court and to do so, do you think he would meet with resistance?
From the court itself?
Yes.
Yes, at this point especially, because I became re-engaged in investigations in Larimer County, and what has happened in the past 9 months specifically, I can almost guarantee that I will not have an opportunity to have fairness or justice in anything that I do here, based on what I've done in the past 9 months.
Yeah. Well, Stacy, I'm trying to say this and sound immodest, but the reach of my website and this radio show has increased exponentially over the last year. And I look at what we were able to do to help Monica Wesolowski. We kicked their backsides in Virginia. We took names and we kicked their fannies. And today, Dylan is back home with his mom. And his mom reminds me a lot of you, Stacy, another mentally tough mom who deeply was committed and loved her child. And I just attribute to the fact that we were able to raise money to bring in an outside attorney that the local DA could not control, the local court system could not control. And so, Stacy, I just wanted to take a moment to mention this here. Stacy and I are going to pursue this week, by prior agreement, how to set up crowdfunding so we can do the same with Stacy that we did with Monica. And this, to me, bringing in an outside attorney who's licensed to practice in Colorado is the only way to go. Stacy, you no longer, and I want to show the listening audience what you're up against with these animals. You no longer have your driver's license, do you?
That is correct. They suspended my driver's license based on a hearing that I was not allowed to attend. The hearing occurred in that it was a secret hearing. We have evidence of that because the corporal who was involved in this, Corporal Ryan Berg from the Sheriff's Office and Julie Coons Field, both wrote reports that did not match each other, so I was not at this hearing. They issued a child support order as a result of that secret hearing that was not signed. And then just last year, Weld County Sheriff's Office informed me that my license had been suspended, so I wasn't even informed of this entire process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much for a day in court, huh? That's, of course, as I've frequently said, you're dealing with the justice system in the People's Republic of Larimer County. So I, for one, am not surprised. So what we're going to do, and I want to back up, oh gosh, probably what, 15, 16 months, and again thank my friends Steve Quayle and Doug and Joe Hagman, who, and others, Randy Yarbrough, who lives right up in your, broadcast right up in your area, Stacy, and I've been on a show many times and talked about your case. They were instrumental last year in helping us to raise enough money. So was my listening audience. So were the people who follow me on social media. And we need to go back to the well and do this again. Stacy, I made a promise to you when we really had dark days, and there's still dark days, but about 3 years ago I made a promise that I would not abandon this case or you or your son until you had your parental rights enforced legally. We're not even asking for any changes, anything other than they got to follow the law, and they're not doing that. So we're going to, over the course of this week, Stacy and I are going to decide what the best way to set up the funding will be. I have no doubt that with my friends and contacts in the media and with the loyal listening audience who've already proven themselves to have big hearts, that we're going to be able to cause them some interesting days in court. Because Stacy, as good as you are legally, and you amaze me at what you've been able to do, they just laugh your lawsuits out of court. And we need to get somebody in there who's going to basically put Julie Coons Field, put her feet right on the fire, and hold her accountable. So this is what we plan to do. Now, right now, you know, don't break out your checkbooks yet, because we need to set up, and so we're following all the tax laws and money gathering laws, because you know the other side's going to come back after us, and they're going to look for any little mistake that we make. So we're going to have to dot our I's and cross our T's. And Stacy, in the couple minutes we have left, how would you like to close this?
I would love to have the opportunity to say that once Julie Coons Field claimed I was a sovereign citizen and I diligently went about the state proving she was wrong, she then started writing in her orders that I was a constitutionalist.
And that, wait a minute. So adhering to the supreme law of the land is now a crime?
It is apparently enough to have your child removed.
Oh, my God. I did not know that she called you a constitutionalist. I knew about the sovereign citizen.
Yes.
Wow.
She started changing it so that she would say in her written orders, Miss Lynn has claimed to be either a sovereign citizen and or a constitutionalist, which means, obviously, you can't be both. If you're a sovereign citizen, you don't believe there are laws that apply to you, and the constitutionalist believes that that's all that applies to you. So that's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, exactly right.
And
well,
I was wondering, can I give out my Facebook pages? Because I have...
Yes. Yeah, please do, yes.
I would love to have friends join me on my current investigative projects, which are all related to the Larimer County District Attorney's Office and the Loveland Police Department. Facebook, Stacy Lynn Investigative Journalist, or YouTube, Stacy Lynn Investigative Journalist, and I would love people to join me in what I'm doing. The more people who have eyes on Larimer County, the better for all of us.
Well, I'm going to have you back on just to talk about some of the things that you're involved with politically. I know we had you on to talk about the beekeepers case, and we're going to do more of that. And see, this is kind of gets lost, Stacy, in this case involving Jaden, is that you were so dynamic, and I have posted on my website before a video of you giving an anti-Agenda 21 presentation. And I know this will offend your modesty, but you were good. You were really good. And this is why, in my opinion, why they had to target you and make a victim of your son in the process. And one of the things, too, that I want to say, Jaden probably right now, just guessing, probably thinks Mom has abandoned him, that she don't care.
That's what they've been telling him, yes.
Yeah, I don't really want to get into the they and what they're saying. I just want to talk about perception. But I want to talk about why I want to do this. There's going to come a time in social media that you can't erase, in the archives of this show that you can't erase, where you're hearing that this mom desperately wants to be reunited with her son. She wants the law enforced. She should never have been deprived the right to see her son. And that's why I'll be coming back on the airwaves here and asking for help, because I certainly don't have the resources to do this alone. And this is not meant to say that we're going after the biological father. We're not. We're going after a corrupt legal system. So, Stacy, that's why you're not far from my thoughts. You know, I think about you frequently and the horror that you've had to go through and the pain endured by your son, because anytime you have this kind of disruption, it's painful. It doesn't matter how skillful or loving the parents are. So, Stacy, I'll be in touch with you this week, and we'll start this process rolling. And I know that you're going to have lots of help in the media, because I'm going to make sure that happens.
Thank you, Dave, and I appreciate it. It's an honor to know you, and I would like to... I know you have a large following in northern Colorado, and I would like to invite everyone to the Beekeeper's second documentary film. Benjamin David Gilmore's film will be released at the Lyric Cinema Cafe on September 16th.
Okay, very good. Well, you've done enough interviews. You hear the music. You know what that means. So we got to scoot. Stacy, I love you. And so many of our listening audience who follows you, they love you too. And we're going to keep working for justice in this case. Take care.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll be back in hour number three with Katie Whalen and the Health Report and Josh Coy at the bottom of the hour.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.